Good morning. Before we start today, I made two promises yesterday, one that I tell a story, and one, you had a question yesterday. What was the question? Okay, what happens if you pray and you don't feel anything? And so before we start, let's take care of those two items. So many times we go to God in prayer and we struggle with something and we pray and labor and don't feel anything. And we forget that God doesn't depend on our chemistry. Amen. Regardless if we are in a good mood or a bad mood, feel good, feel bad, we are high or we are down, doesn't really matter. God doesn't change. God loves us just the same. And sometimes people tell me, yeah, but this is what I did. I cannot even feel like praying because I committed this sin. Well, I have news for you. God knew all your sins, including that day, before you were born. And He chose to love you. Amen. And so you do something good and you feel like praying. Like you deserve something. Like you could come in God's presence because you are good. And then you do something bad and you don't feel like praying. Now you are not good enough. We are never good enough. And God knew all our days, all the horrible things we did or said, and He chose to forgive us and gave Jesus. And God doesn't change and doesn't depend on how we feel. That's how we feel. It's not how He feels. So you don't need to feel that God answered you. Our relationship with God should not depend on feelings, but on what it says in the Word, on God's character. Basically, if God says, "May the mountains move, but my love will never move from you," that means that God loves you regardless of your feelings. And so don't expect to feel good or bad. Just grab His promise, regardless how you feel, based on His word, and claim it. And say, "Lord, this is how I feel." But then, very important, say it out loud. "However, Lord, I know that regardless how I feel, you love me just the same. So I choose to trust you." Because the way we talk influences how we think and how we act. And those that talk positive and keep controlling themselves to talk positive, they grow faith, nurture, feed, reinforce, develop faith. And those who talk negative, regardless how strong they may be, eventually that's the way they will think. Because from our words, we will be judged. You remember? Moreover, words have so much power that we don't even imagine. Ellen White has a quotation that says, "Talk faith, pray faith, sing faith." And then she explains that if we allow ourselves to think and to talk negative, it's going to influence us and those around us. And if we talk positive, we give God permission to work and help us in our trials. So it doesn't matter how you feel. God doesn't depend on our feelings. That's our chemistry. God doesn't change. He loves us just the same like yesterday when we felt good. It's not related to God. It's related to chemistry. Okay? So, so many times people depend on feelings. God doesn't depend on feelings. Feelings are good, but not to control us. They are good when you love somebody. You cannot be a robot, a computer. You need to have feelings. But they are not good to make decisions. They are really not. They make a mess when you make decisions based on feelings. You make decisions based on prayer and based on God's word. You don't make decisions based on feelings. Amen. My wife says, "Oh, I love him so much. Let's keep giving him money." When he was spending money to drink, I said, "No, no, no. That's mother talk. Let me tell you how father's talk. I'm not going to give him money." You follow me? So Decisions made on feelings are really not so good. Now, the second one, the youth heard the story. Somebody came to me and told me a story about a lady that is sick. I cannot give any details. I don't know a lot of details, but what if God doesn't answer the prayer to heal her? So, I want to mention two things. Number one, God can heal anybody. And so many times, we don't pray for healing because we, in our heart, we doubt that God will heal that person. And we are afraid that we fail. We pray for healing, nothing happened, and we lose our faith, and people lose faith in God. And the other, this number one. Number two, we pray for healing, and it doesn't happen. You follow me? So what do you do with number one and number two? First, we should not pray unless God will tell you to pray for it. I know you heard me and you may not like it, but I tell you what it is. You can pray for somebody's salvation always, but you don't know if it's God's will that that person would heal or not. Didn't Paul, the apostle, prayed that God would heal him? And God said, no, my grace is sufficient. You remember? For some reason, God chose different. And God will heal that person, but maybe at the second coming. Because this is what we forget. We have in mind this short, temporary, limited life. Job, health. You follow me? Our car, our family. We have in mind this. But if you would imagine that I have a string or a rope, okay, and is long from here to the cafeteria, okay? And I'm gonna make knots on that string every 1 inch. How many knots? Quite a few, huh? And I want you to imagine that between two knots, every 1 inch is 10,000 years. You start following me, don't you? From here to the cafeteria, how long time do we have? That's millions of years, okay? I don't know how many years, but anyway, I'm just picking. Okay, let's make the string long from here to Elkins. Now, does it help a little? Every 1 inch, 10,000 years. That's, let's suppose it's eternity, but eternity is going to go, that string is going to be not to Elkins, but to Washington, D.C. Not to Washington, D.C., but to New York. It's going to go without end, every 1 inch, 10,000 years. From those 10,000 years, 1 inch, 1,000 years is like this. And 100 years is like this. And that's what you focus on. And God says, are you blind? You focus on this little dot. And that's a miserable life when I want to give you this. And that's absolutely perfect and beautiful. And if you may need to suffer that little dot to grow and develop the character that you need to be in heaven, I'm going to let you suffer because I want you here with me for that length. Do you follow me? And we lose focus of eternity and we focus on that really extremely short, temporary, transitory dot. And Paul says that these sufferings of this temporary life are not worth to be compared to the eternity to come. Do you follow me? And so we focus so much on this garbage and we lose eternity. And we should pray like, Lord, it is hard. I would like healing. And I am asking you to heal me. However, may your will be done. And if this is necessary, either for my salvation or for somebody else's salvation, let it happen. I give you permission to do your will in my life, whatever you think that I need in order to serve you and to be there with you. You follow me? That's the way we should pray. Yes, Lord, I would like to be healed. But do whatever you know that is necessary. I trust in you. Don't you think that God wants our benefit? And now saying that, when you pray that way, you are ready to accept God's will. You want to be healed, but you give him permission for his will. And then instead of praying, heal me, after you give your will, surrender your will totally, your life, everything to God, in the thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, somewhere in the middle of the book says, our problem is not our problem. It says in different words. It says, it's not our trials. But our real problem is surrendering of the will and trusting the Lord. Do you follow me? Our real problem is not what you think that is your problem, that you struggle with, but is the surrendering of the will and the trusting of God's will. We don't feel safe to trust him because we don't know him enough to understand his amazing love and wisdom. He gave Jesus. How will he not also in Jesus give us the other things? It's like you are broke, you lost your house, foreclosed, you lost your car, it was a junk and it broke, okay? You have no money, your shoes broke, your kids have no money for tuition, you have no food. You struggle, what are you going to do tomorrow? And your brother won the lottery, and he won $500 million. Okay? And your brother says, I love you, I want to help you. How much do you have to pay to save the house? $250,000. Okay. What is $250,000 compared to $500 million? Well, he doesn't get $500 million because Uncle Sam is going to take half. But anyway, $250,000 is plenty, isn't it? He says, okay, I have $500 million and you owe $250,000 to the house. That's a drop in the bucket. What else? Well, my car, it's about... Don't fix that junk. I'm going to get you a new car. What do you like? Well, I like BMW. Okay. What is it? Well, a BMW that is convertible, it's about 65,000. Okay. Add to 250,000, another 65. Okay. And what else? Well, tuition for my kids, 20 and 20, 40,000. Okay. We got to 400,000. What else? Well, I need shoes. And now when you say, I need shoes, he's going to say, no, I'm not going to buy you shoes. I don't have money for shoes. Is he going to say that? Is he going to nickel and dime for 20 bucks? Go to Walmart and get some, or go to, okay, Shoe Carnival, or whatever is the name. I don't remember. My wife knows that stuff. I don't. I don't even know what color to buy. When I get dressed, she says, that those don't go together. I say, who cares? But anyway, she cares, so... And so, is he going to nickel and dime after he won the lottery and he gave you the house and he gave you the car, you follow me, to give you the shoes? Or he's going to say, get the best shoes, go to the mall, don't get junk from Walmart, go to the mall, get the best shoes. That's what we do with God. He gave us Jesus and we say, he's not going to give me my job. Is God going to nickel and dime for a job? The problem is not the job. The problem is surrendering of the will and trusting of the Lord. Do you follow me? And now going back to the healing story. If you understand this background that I gave you before, then you need, instead of praying that God would heal you or somebody else, after you surrender the will, you actually need to pray different. And you need to say, Lord, regardless if it's healing or death, use it for your glory. Use it for other people around me salvation. Use it for my salvation. And by the way, don't let that disease shake anybody's faith. And give that to God. You follow me? Instead, making the people would be saved through it. And so let me give you quick two stories. Number one, my father. My father used to bring Bibles into a country in Romania, though it was against the law. Not once, not twice. But continually, year after year, several times a year. He welded a double floor to his van. It was an old Volkswagen. A type of Volkswagen van, minivan, that had a wheel in the front of the car. I don't know if you know what I am talking about. A Volkswagen van that had the spare wheel in the front of the car. Anyway, it's a junk anyway, but it made a metallic noise when it would ride. It was crazy, but anyway. He welded a double bottom, a double floor, and he would hide Bibles between the two floors. And he would cross to former Yugoslavia, get Bibles, and then cross the border. At the border, the communist government, the customs, would say, do you have Bibles or religious materials? And people would say yes or no. They never believed, they always checked it. My father didn't say yes, he would get in prison. Didn't say no, he would lie. He would always say, that's the van, check it. And they would check in the van, and they say, okay, go. And they never thought about the van having such a thick floor. You follow me? And he brought thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Bibles. And he built churches, and he did evangelism, and he planted churches. And they would call him at the police and say, stop doing evangelism. It's against the law. Stop planting churches. Stop doing evangelism. Stop planting churches. And then somebody from the church, because in the church, there were people paid by the police to be informers. Paid by the KGB to be informers. The secret police. And one time I remember the piano of the inspector of religions, the minister of religions. And I refused to take money for tuning his piano. And he said, I'm going to do a favor. I'm going to tell you how many spies that work for the police are in your church. Our church was 272 members. 27 of them were Judas. You follow me? 1 in 10. In fact, you would be in a line at the grocery store, and if you said something about religion or something against the government, within seconds, they would show up, pick you up, and you'll never see the light again for the rest of your life. Literally. My aunt was home watching TV, and it was the president, Ceausescu, speaking, and she said, I got tired of communism. Within 20 minutes, they picked her up. She never came home. They killed her. It was wired. People were afraid to talk. When my father would talk religion or would talk government, he would take us for a walk in the forest and we would talk. He would cover with a pillow, the telephone. It was crazy to live. Americans don't know what that means, really. No offense. People don't value freedom here until they will lose it. You need to value the freedom that God gave you. Anyway, I'm not going to do politics right now, so let's go back. And so, somebody from the church told the police that there are Bibles coming into the church and into the city. And then they had many people keep an eye open, and eventually they said, it is Goya who brings the Bibles. So the police came to our house many times, and they never caught us, because God did a miracle every time. I'm not going to go through those stories. One time, in fact, they took him to the police, and the chief of police called the mayor and said, what should I do? I caught him. And he said, kill him. Shoot him. No question. Just kill him right away. And after the mayor ordered that my father would be killed, the mayor got in his car and left the city hall. And as the driver of the mayor took a left, a big truck that the driver was drunk hit the mayor's car and killed the mayor. And so they called the chief of the police and said the mayor was killed. So he called the vice mayor, or however you call it, the one that was under, the deputy mayor or whatever, I don't know how to call it. What should I do with Goya? And the guy says, let him go. I have a family. I don't want to die. So God saved his life many times. But one time, God didn't. One time they called him and said, we told you to stop bringing Bibles. We would have to terminate you because you don't get it. And my father said, go ahead. I don't value my life. We'll take your house. And my father said, I knew that, so I already gave it to the church before you took it. I don't have a house. We'll take your money. And my father said, every time I get my salary, I keep 10% and give 90% to God. I have nothing left over. My father didn't give 10. He gave 90. I'm telling you the truth. He said, I give 90 to the church. I keep 10 to survive. And he said, there is nothing that you can take. I already gave it away. We'll take your life. And my father said, well, I don't live for me. I live for God. If you take it, if he allows it, then it's time for me to go. I'm okay. It's going to take me a second, and then I see Jesus, even better. And they were like, oh, there is nothing we can do to this guy. And my father said to the officer, I'll pray for you. You look like desperate. And so he put him in a room, locked him there, and left him alone for the night. In the morning, let him go home. After he came home, within weeks, he started to lose hair, lose his nails, and he got sick. We took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, you have been exposed to radiation. You are irradiated. His spine stopped functioning. The doctor said, because of the radiation, you got lymphatic leukemia. Your spine doesn't work anymore. Your liver doesn't work anymore. Nothing works in your body. You are irradiated. And he died within 3 months. We prayed that my father would be healed, and he was not. And at a certain point, we kept praying, please heal him, please. And he said, stop doing that. And I said to him, why? He said, well, God heard you first time. He is able to heal me, but he chose different. And I said, why? He said, well, you are not God. You don't need to understand. You just need to trust. And then he said, I have an idea. I know why God doesn't heal me. I said, what would that be? And my father said, well, he may have other reasons that I don't know. But one, I do know. In this church, nobody works. Nobody has the courage to bring a Bible. Nobody has the courage to plant a church. They are afraid that they will be put in prison. They don't have a God. They don't trust their God. They are afraid. Imagine if everybody worked like me. And he said, quote, under big trees, nothing grows. Under big trees, nothing grows. And sometimes it's good to cut the tree so the other smaller trees and plants would grow. And he said, God may need me to go so the other church leaders in the church would grow and develop. Because if I am gone, they have no choice. They have to work. And he said to me, stop thinking about self, about me. Start thinking about God. It's time to think about God. And then he said, don't pray for me. Let me pray for you. And he prayed for mom, for my sisters, for me. And then in a few hours, he closed his eyes. He told my mom when he died, he said, don't cry. We have hope. And he said to mom, you know what to write on my stone? I know my Redeemer. Even if my flesh would perish, my eyes will see him. And that's what she wrote on the stone. And so, was he healed? No. Why? I don't know. It better be God calling you when I speak. So, I don't know why, but I do know something. My mom's sister and my mom's mother never wanted to hear about God. Never. They hated God. Your Greek Orthodox, fierce Greek Orthodox. At my dad's funeral, they turned around and they got baptized. And you know, Jesus would have died for a soul. If that was the reason for my father to die, it was worth. Because they will be in heaven for eternity. But going to the other story, I had a friend. We grew up together. Our parents grew up together. Our grandparents grew up together. We go way back. And they moved to America. We moved to America. She lived in Atlanta, Georgia. At that time, we were in Wisconsin. I was at camp meeting. The president in that time in Wisconsin conference was Elder Don Corkum. Probably you know him very well. Good man, godly, humble, kind, supportive, loving. I cannot believe that we have so good leaders. And sometimes people comment and argue and criticize instead of praying for the leaders. You never know what choices, what decisions they have to make. You don't know, so you need to pray for them, not to judge them. You need to support Moses' hands in prayer. You follow me? And so that friend of mine, Ella was her name, she called me and she said, I didn't feel good for 2 years. I thought I'm just tired, so I didn't go to the doctor. Yesterday, I felt really bad, so I went to the doctor. And the doctor said, you are 2 years too late. The cancer ate everything inside you. You have no lungs, you have no kidneys, your heart is gone. There is no organs inside. Your bones are eaten. I don't get it. How can you walk? How can you breathe? How can you function? And he said, let me show you the ultrasound. Let me show you the MRI. There is nothing in you. How do you function? And the doctor said, I'm sorry, but I have to tell you, I give you 2 days the most. You should have been dead long ago. And so she called me and said, come and pray for me. So I went to Elder Corcum. I said, I need to go and pray for her. And Elder Corcum says to me, whenever you have a need during the year, you know that every time you came to me, I gave you time off. I told you, go take care of your family. But camp meeting, guys, I told everyone many times, you cannot excuse yourself at camp meeting unless you die. No, you cannot go. It's Thursday, or it was Wednesday, actually. Sunday, when we finish, you can go. We are just a few pastors. We have a lot of jobs, and we have people coming here. Secondly, you are not God. God doesn't need you to heal her. In fact, Jesus didn't go to heal the servant. When the Roman leader said, I have a servant, and said, you don't need to come because I am man under command, and I say a word and it happens. You are God. If you say a word, it happens. Jesus said, that's faith. And Jesus said the word without going, and in that hour, the servant was healed. So Elder Corcum says to me, God doesn't need you there. God says a word and it happens. Why would he need you to go there? I said, yeah, you do have a point. So I went to my cabin. Every pastor had a cabin. And I prayed in my cabin for her healing. And I prayed and I prayed and I poured my heart before the Lord. And I prayed the whole night, the whole day, nothing happened. Then I prayed the whole night, literally from 9 p.m. to 5:30 a.m. without any sleep. And every time I pushed God, I had a sense, drop it, she will die. So I said, Lord, maybe I'm kind of pushing you too much. Show me, should I keep praying? And the Lord said in my mind, no. Because you need to seek God's will. You cannot pray for something just because you want it or because you assume it's good. You need to seek God's will before you pray for something. Don't you think that Elijah just decided to pray that there will be no rain and then there will be rain? God told him to do that. You follow me? You need to seek God's will before you pray for something. And anyway, and I could give you quotations actually in the spirit of prophecy that underline exactly what I said clearly. And so, God inspired me to stop praying, but I refused to accept it. And I said, no, I'll keep praying. Like the king, you know, give me more life, give me more life. And God eventually gave him 15 more years, and that was a disaster. For him and for the kingdom. It was a total disaster. People were killed. People went to slavery because God gave him more years. Balaam, let me go, let me go. And that was a disaster because he pushed the Lord. You should trust God's will. Anyway, so I kept pushing and pushing and pushing. At 5:30, I stopped to do my devotional because then I have to go for breakfast and then I have to go for my duties. And when I stopped to do my devotional from prayer, when I opened the Bible to study, it happened that that morning, my next chapter to read, where I stopped the day before, it was when Israel was ready to enter the promised land. And God told Moses, go on the mountain, you will die. And Moses said, please let me see the land. And God said, no, you will die, and Joshua will continue. Please let me see the land. And God said, stop pushing. You remember? I said, are you kind of answering to me? And I was not very happy. And I said, I'm not going to accept it. I want you to give her life. So I closed the Bible and I stopped studying. I opened the spirit of prophecy, the book of Acts. And it was when Stephen was stoned. I said, oh, come on. So I closed that book and I left and I took a walk and then I went for breakfast and then I went to the big tent. Elder Ed Reed was speaking on the second coming events. And as I enter the big tent, he says, and before Jesus comes in the last time, many precious souls will be called to rest. I said, you too? Come on! Everybody talks about death today. And I left. I mean, God was clear, but I refused to listen, you know? And I went back home, and I prayed that day too, and the next night too. And I had 2 days and two nights of pushing the Lord. And in the morning, at 6 a.m., somebody knocked in my door. It was Greg Budd. He helped me do editing for my book. My English is not good enough to write in English, you know. Grammar mistakes, word mistakes. He had to do all the editing. And he knocks in the door at 6 a.m. and he says, Pavel, give me next chapter in your book because Review and Herald just called me and by today noon, they want the next chapter. And I need time between now and noon to do the editing for the next chapter. And I said to him, go away, it's 6 a.m. He says, open the door. He said, go away, come at 8, it's 6 a.m. He said, no, I'm not going to go away before you open the door. Okay, I opened the door. He says, are you crying? Yep. Why? I've been praying 2 days and two nights that God would heal my friend, and he says she will die. And Greg Budd looks to me and says, who do you think you are? God. You tell him what to do like you are the master and he is the servant? Shouldn't be the other way around. He should say and you should obey. You need to accept it. I said, and what am I going to tell her? I call her and I say, I have news for you. You'll die. And he said, no, this is what you need to pray. Lord, give me wisdom how to talk to her and give her peace and faith to accept your will. That's what you need to pray for. And he said, pray for her peace, pray for her comfort, pray for the comfort of the others around her. Pray that God would help them accept it in faith. So I got the message. And after he left, I kneeled down by my bed and I said, Lord, okay, it's very hard, but I accept it. But please give her peace that she will accept it. Take care of her family that they will accept it. Take care of those around her and the whole church because she was a wonderful, wonderful church member, wonderful person. When I prayed that prayer of surrender, in that moment, I got instant peace and I knew that God answered. So I opened my Bible to continue to study. And I remember saying, Lord, please give her the comfort of the resurrection, of your kingdom. And as I opened the Bible to continue, Moses says, please let me see the country. And the Lord said, no, stop insisting. You will die. But then the Lord did him a favor. Showed him, you remember? Canaan, and said, take a look. You remember? I said, well, Lord, that would be nice if you show her Canaan, you know? But I was just joking. And then I opened the book of Acts to continue my study. And Stephen, when he was stoned, what did he see? The Son of Man, you remember? I said, are you really talking to me? And I didn't think about anything. Well, I finished my study, went for breakfast, went to my duties. At 9:30 a.m., her husband called me. Stelian is his name. He said, Pavel, yesterday she entered coma. She was pale and she could hardly breathe. Last night at 2:30 a.m., she passed away. But something happened. At 2:30 a.m., she instantly, I was there by her bed, she instantly opened her eyes and she instantly was not pale anymore. She was bright, glowing. And he says, I know it sounds crazy, but I mean it. She was glowing. And she was talking to somebody, looking up, and she said, What? Wow! And then he said, she said again, wow! Okay.
No problem. Thank you. I accept it. No problem. Thank you.
And then she closed her eyes.
And he says, I don't get it. What happened?
I said, well, let me tell you what happened. And I told him what I prayed for and what I think happened. And he started to cry. He said, thank you for sharing. Sunday, I flew, after CAM meeting was over, I flew to Atlanta, Georgia, and I buried her. And I told everybody that story. God chose not to heal her. And I know stories when God chose to heal them. Why? God knows. But sometimes, God chooses different than what we pray. And our prayer should change from do this to Lord, give comfort. You follow me? And I don't know the reason, but you can ask him when you get to heaven. Let's go to our quick story. How to pray. We have a story in the Bible. His name is Elkanah. Her name is
Hannah.
In that time, according to the archaeology, according to the Bible, according to the spirit of prophecy, according to history, in that time, to have children meant to be blessed. Children are a blessing from God. They are like arrows. You remember? Okay. Not to have children meant to be cursed. People got to be so foolish to think that the more children you have, the more blessings you have. Sometimes I feel like giving you my children, my blessings, when they bother me so much, you know. But anyway, you can have them, you know. But no, I love my kids. But anyway, they thought that you have many children, you have many blessings. So they started to marry more women to get more children. And instead of blessings, became a curse. Because God in the beginning gave Adam one wife, Eve, not Eve's, many wives. And God said, if you sleep with somebody else than your wife, that's breaking God's commandment. You should not even think about it. You should not even look. Run away from it. Because it's trouble. You lose yourself and you lose others around you. And you make a mess. And your children suffer and everybody suffers. Don't even think. Don't even look. You remember? Okay. But instead of the church influencing the world, it was the other way around. The world influenced the church. And in time, because sin doesn't come instant, sin comes with something so small that you don't even feel guilty. A little, nothing. And you do it. And tomorrow, a little nothing. And you do it. And slowly, in years, you depart without realizing. And when you realize, you are far gone. Because if you compromise today and you compromise tomorrow, soon enough, you are gone. You follow me? So slowly, in time, the church, Israel, started to copy the world. And they got so far to marry many wives like the world, to worship the idols and so on. So Elkanah thought that God needs his help. And he married Peninnah to help God to have children. You follow me? Like Abraham married his servant to help God because God is unable to help you. God, poor God, he needs our help. Instead of praying and waiting upon God's promise, because God will keep his word, but in his time. You follow me? They did try. They did try to get pregnant. And they did go to the doctor. And they did eat broccoli and tofu. But still she didn't get pregnant. And they did take pills. But she didn't get pregnant. And they did fast. And she didn't get pregnant. And they did pray again. And they prayed for 1, 2, and 10 years. And the Bible says in Hebrew, for many years. The expression is very short. It's one word. But that means many years. So I don't know. Many years could be 3, could be 10. I don't know. But they did try. And nothing worked. And instead of waiting, they decided to marry another wife. Well, when they did that, trouble came. Because the Bible says that Peninnah mocked Anna day and night, in and out, every day of the week, every day of the year, 24/7, nonstop. And Anna's life was miserable. And she was in bitterness. She was in anguish. You follow me? And so, this is very important. She prayed. The Bible says she prayed that she would get pregnant. And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And God said, I'm in vacation. Now listen carefully to what I say next. At a certain point in the Bible, she changed her prayer. I want you to hear it. From, give me a child, to, if you give me a child, I'm going to give him up and give him to you. Whatever you ask for self, even if God wanted to give it to you, he cannot, because you focus on self and you are not going to use it properly. Whatever you give up and you think you lose, then you are worthy to receive it and God can give it to you because you are going to use it properly. Do you follow me? At the moment when she switched her prayer from give me a child to if you give me a child, I'm going to give him up and give him to you, then God answered her prayer. And so they lived in Ramah. But from that place to the tabernacle, because the temple was not built yet, it was way before Solomon. In fact, it was in 11th century BC. It took them 3 days to travel to the temple, to the tabernacle, to the tent. And so, listen carefully. People that lived close, they went 3 times a year for the holidays to the tabernacle, to the Shiloh, to the tent, okay? But people that lived far, they went 1 time a year to the tabernacle. It was for Yom Kippur, for the Day of Atonement. That 1 time a year came, and they are supposed to go to the temple. And so they get on their donkeys and their camels and their chevys, and they go to the temple, okay, to the tabernacle. They travel 3 days, and they get there. They worship, and then they eat. Every time when they get a break, Penina is, you are cursed because you are stupid, because you are ugly, because you are not good, because you have sins. That's the reason God cursed you. God hates you. Everybody hates you. You are good for nothing. Do you think that he loves you more than me? And Anna, as usually, starts crying. And she's in terrible anguish. In fact, the word there, bitterness of soul. And she continued praying. Is translated, it's the word mar. And it means anguish, pain. She continued to pray. Continued is the word rabach and means excessive, abundant, numerous prayers. She didn't pray one prayer. She kept praying. She was a woman of prayer. Okay? So what she did, instead of responding back, what would you do if somebody did that to your life? Oh, you would hate them. You follow me? You would get hurt. You would get offended. You would be upset with them. You would get upset with the church. She didn't take it. She didn't allow herself to take it. What she did, she went away and she prayed. So she goes away into the tabernacle. She kneels down and she starts praying. Now the bad pastor that they had there, he was not a good guy. Eli was his name. He had 2 children that were, the Bible says, corrupted, and the Bible says, quote, evil. Hophni and Phinehas. Those 2 children, the Bible says, that they would take the sacrifices for the Lord, the holy things, and use themselves, and that they would rape the women that came to the temple. Did you know that? Well, it's in the Hebrew translation, and it is in the spirit of prophecy. They had blood in their hands, because if somebody talked against them, they would kill that person. And people complained to Eli, the high priest. And Eli, instead of putting God above his family, he said, oh, leave them alone. They are my kids. I love you, Daddy. Oh, please don't do that. And because Eli put his family above God and his honor, Eventually, he lost his children, he lost his life, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken away, if you remember. You remember the story? Okay, now going back, if that pastor comes to you after you have been praying for 10, 20 years, and you have been going to the doctors, and you live in bitterness of soul, and you are broke, and you are in anguish, when you are praying and pouring your heart before the Lord, the pastor says, stop being drunk. How would you feel about the pastor? Oh, I would be hurt. But she doesn't allow herself in her mind to be hurt. She doesn't take it personally. She simply says, I'm not drunk, I'm praying. Because number one, I want you to listen. People that pray surrender self. They die to self. And you know who gets hurt when you are hurt? It's self. If self is dead, they cannot hurt somebody dead. Dead people cannot be hurt. When I was a kid, they mocked me in the school. You are an Adventist. Ha, 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 ha. You are an Adventist. And I came home crying. I remember, I'll never forget, I was in second grade. And my father said, and aren't you an Adventist? Yes. Then why do you cry? My father said, I know why you cry. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Come with me. I said, okay. He took me by hand. We crossed the road. And in front of our house, there was a cemetery. We went in the cemetery. I said, man, what does he want here? He went to a grave, and my father said to me, tell him that he is stupid. I said, no, I'm not going to tell a dead guy that he is stupid. Just do it. I said, okay, you are stupid. And my father said, what did he say? He's dead. Okay, hit him. I'm not going to hit a grave. Oh, just hit him. Okay. I hit him. And my father said, what did he say? He is dead. So my father took me by my cheeks like that, looked into my eyes and said, son, before you die, people will keep hurting you. You need to die to self. And you have a God, and he needs to live in you. And when they hurt you, you should not feel it, but he should feel it, and he will do justice and revenge, not you. You follow me? I didn't get it. Now I do. But at that time, I was too small and too stupid to understand what he said. People of prayer, the more they pray, the more they know the Lord, the more they surrender, and you cannot hurt them, and they will not get revenge, and they will not hate you. They will not take it personal because self is dead. They will simply say, I'm not drunk. I was praying. She didn't hate the pastor. She didn't criticize. You know, our pastor, she just simply said, I'm not going to take it personal because I have a God. If I need justice, he's going to do justice. If I need defense, he's going to defend me, not me. I trust in him. Every time you feel that you need to answer, that's self. Ellen White has a quotation in the Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, right in the beginning, in second chapter, and she says, those that feel the need to explain, justify, and defend themselves, look for that quotation because it's extremely powerful. She says, those have not yet died to self. Self is in control. Because those who trust God don't need that. They trust God. When you do that, you don't trust God. Uh-huh, it sounds terrible, huh? I know. And so, number one, people who pray are people that learn to surrender. Number two, she says, I am not drunk, I am praying. And he, the bad pastor, says, go in peace, may God answer your prayer. Now, if you tried for several years, and you went to the doctors, and you fasted, and you ate tofu, and you did everything to get pregnant, and you didn't get pregnant, and the pastor comes to you and says, go in peace, would you just go in peace? The Bible says, hold on a second. The Bible says, I need to jump quick. That instantly, in that moment, she got up, She stopped crying. She stopped being in pain. She anointed her head, and that meant celebration. She ate, and she was happy, and she was no longer sad. Do you think that she felt something moving in her tummy? Oops, it's moving. I have a baby. No, why would she stop crying after years of praying? Let me tell you why. People who pray learn to distinguish God's voice among thousand voices. They recognize God's voice. They know God's voice. If you don't know God's voice, then you need to talk to Him more to get used with His voice. And it doesn't matter if God talks to them through a donkey, or God talks to them through a pastor, or God talks to them through something else. They recognize God's voice because they know it. And when the pastor talked, she did not look to the pastor. She didn't allow it to stop her. She heard God's voice through that pastor. And she believed. And she said, finally, thank you, Lord. And she was happy. You follow me? People who pray learn to focus on God. People who pray learn to let God do justice. People who pray recognize God's voice. Let's move on. She was no longer sad. Listen carefully. Do you think she got pregnant? I tell you not, and I am going to prove it to you with the Bible. She didn't feel anything moving in her tummy. But she rejoiced. You know what that means? Faith. Faith is not based on what you see or feel. It's based on knowing God and His promises and trusting in Him. Before she got pregnant, she rejoiced. Listen carefully. Before she got pregnant, she rejoiced. To pray and to know your God so much that you rejoice in the promise before you receive the promise. My son, Ovi, when he was 4, comes to me and says, Dad, you like motorcycle? I said, yes, I do. I hope that Jesus will let me take my motorcycle to heaven. My motorcycle didn't sin, so why not? Anyway, so. And so he says, Dad, can I have your bike? I said, are you kidding me? You are so small, and my bike, it's a 750cc, it's big. He says, Dad, can I have your bike? No, you can have a little bike. So he says, how little? I said, like this, a toy. He said, no, I need to ride it. I said, okay, I'm going to get you a bike that is plastic, no engine. It has wheels and pedals. You follow me? And he says, blue? I said, okay, I'm going to get you a blue one. When? I said, tomorrow. When I come from work, I go to the children's shop, and I'm going to get you a plastic bike, 3 wheels and pedals, and blue. He says, wah! He runs outside, opens the door, goes in the front, and says to the kids, I have a bike! It has 3 wheels, it has pedals, and it's blue! And the kids say, can we see it? And he says, well, it comes tomorrow. And he got, next day, a bike. He was rejoicing before seeing the bike. Based on what? He knew that every time I promised him something, I did it at any price. He knew me. That's how we are supposed to react. Ellen White says that when you pray, rejoice, expect, pray in expectancy, and rejoice in the answer before you see the answer. Sarah believed and then she conceived. Do you follow me? And so, people who pray have faith. She prayed and she believed that she is pregnant. Well, did she get pregnant? Did she get pregnant? And then she says that she had joy. People who pray have faith, and people who have faith have joy. Even when they go through trials, they have peace. Let me tell you, if she got pregnant, it says there in the Bible, listen carefully. So it came to pass that in the process of time, that word, in the process of time, in Hebrew says, in many ears. It's plural. You go and do the translation. You go to the dictionary. Many ears in my grammar means two, three, or more, but not one. So God told her, you'll be pregnant. And then she went home and nothing. And the year passed by, nothing. And 2 years passed by. And God said, I got it. I answered. Like Abraham, you'll have a son. And it took another 25 years for Abraham to get a son. Because answer to prayer in the Bible, most of the times, is not an event. It's a process. It takes time. And you need to wait patiently for it. But she didn't lose faith. Because people who pray, they have faith and they have peace and they wait upon the promise. She waited and she rejoiced and she stopped crying and she knew that she has a baby. Just not now, but she will have a baby. I need to finish because it's breakfast time. And so I will finish. People who pray have patience to wait for the answer. So let me give it to you. People who pray, they don't pray a prayer. It says there that she prayed continuously, if you remember, continually. She, for her, prayer was not an event in a crisis. It was a way of life. It was the breath of the soul. Let me tell you how much you breathe. All the time. You breathe without ceasing. Prayer was not in needs. Prayer was continually. People who pray, they learn to focus on God, not on problems. People who pray, they become meek. They don't need to defend themselves. They don't take offense. People who pray, they recognize God's voice when He talks. People who pray know God, and because they know God, they develop faith. People who have faith, then they have peace, even when they go through trials. People that pray and have faith, they have patience. They know to wait for God's promise. And this is how prayer would step by step grow you to where you should be. Do you follow me? And you don't do that. Relationship with God will lead you step by step there. And so, let's finish the story. She got pregnant. She stayed home until she weaned the child. And, you know, she was nursing. And when the child was, the Bible says, 6 years old. Is that big or small? Small. She took him to the temple and she gave him to God and said to Eli, this is the son I prayed for. I made a commitment. Here she is. And she left. Now, let me ask you something. Would you give your only baby, 6 years old, to God and live? And listen carefully. Leave him in a corrupted, evil environment with those two priests, Hophni and Phinehas. Would you leave your kid there? Well, let me give you the answer. We have two boys. We searched to put them in a good school. So we are in Wisconsin and we put them in Southern. It is 12 hours drive. When we drove them there to school, my wife would not want to go back home with me. I said, honey, home is Wisconsin. No, I stay with my kids. Honey, you have me. It's not the same. Oh, come on. It took me 2 days to convince her to leave. And when I convinced her, 12 hours drive, she would not talk to me. Like I did something wrong. And she was crying all the way back. I said, honey, you have internet, you have FaceTime, you have cell phone, you have Facebook, you have, come on, you can go once a month and see them. Can I go every week? No! Anna didn't have Facebook, didn't have cell phone, didn't have anything. It would take her 3 days to travel. She went once a year to see her baby. If you were her, what would you pray for? Lord, give me comfort. Help me. I'm not going to know. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, I lose my kid. And Lord, please protect my kid from that evil pastor. That's what you would pray for. But people who pray, this is how they pray when they lose something. My heart rejoices in the Lord. 10 verses prayer. There is no complaining. It's all praises. Because listen carefully, people who pray, they have faith that God can take care of that child better than you take care of that child. If God gave you the child, God is able to take care of him. If you promise to give him to God, you need to also trust that God is able to protect. When you worry and you think that you can protect him better, you are so wrong. You may do whatever you want and the child may still turn bad. Do you follow me? The single safety, it's God, not you. But people who pray learn to trust the Lord. And they have no problem. They have faith. They have joy. And so, did she stop praying? She prayed for him before she was pregnant. She prayed for him when she was pregnant. She prayed for him after she was born. She prayed for him until she was six. She gave him to the temple. And then the Bible says that she continued to pray for him. How do we know that? And how does the baby know the mother is praying for him? The Bible says, let's move on, it's late. She made him a little robe once a year and she gave it to him. Now listen, there are two words, ephod and mail. Ephod means ephod and mail means little cover. Well, I looked up in the dictionary and it's a very strange word. It means little cover made from prayer shawls. They had a prayer shawl that they would cover themselves when they prayed. She put many prayer shawls together and she saw them together. And she said, this is what you cover yourself with. You know the message? The message said, son, you are covered from head to toes in prayer. I've been praying for you before you were born and I am praying for you day and night. You are safe. And this is what the spirit of prophecy says. Every day Samuel was the subject of her prayers. Every year she made a robe. And listen, every fiber of the garment had been woven with a prayer. Thousands of prayers. What did she pray for? Lord, help my kid to get in Loma Linda and help my kid be healthy and have a good life and a good job. No, she didn't pray for the worldly transitory things, but she prayed that he might honor and serve God and be a blessing for others. Selfless prayer, because people who pray, they forget self. Do you follow me? And so, people who pray eventually become one with Christ. They pray for what is best for God's honor and forget themselves. That's how you pray. When you really want an answer, that's how you pray. And that's what prayer is going to do to you. So, let's stop here. Let's have a prayer. It's late. I told stories in the beginning. That happens when I tell stories. Let's pray and then we go to breakfast. I wish I had more time. I had to jump over several quotations. I wish I had more time to develop them, to explain them, so you get the full meaning how prayer would slowly transform your life without you even knowing, without you even realizing. In time, as you do nothing, you cannot change yourself. But as you keep praying, how prayer works step by step until you become more and more like Jesus. But what you need to worry, you just need to make a decision today that you want to have a continual communion with God. And tomorrow the same, and next day the same. And as you do that, before you know, you are transformed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we cannot even grasp the blessing of communion with you. Before we know, your presence transforms us in a powerful way. Your presence makes us new. So, Father, we pray that you help us become people of prayer. Church become a house of prayer. Family become a house of prayer. That we learn to pray without ceasing. That we learn to walk with you. To seek you more than anything else. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. And thank you. Amen.